Of the General Assembly, I have the honor to welcome to the United Nations His Excellency Joseph Kabila Kambangi, President of the Democratic Republic of Congo, and to invite him to address the Assembly. Mr. President.
Monsieur le Président.
Mr. President, when the nations of the world come together in an assembly to consider the major issues facing humanity, it is an honor and a privilege to take the floor and to express the viewpoint of one's country. Therefore, animated with this twin sentiment on behalf of the Congolese people, I speak to this august assembly and through it to the community of nations as a whole. To begin, I wish to address to you and the members of the Bureau my most sincere congratulations upon your election to the presidency of this regular session of the General Assembly of our organization. And I also wish to hail your predecessor, Mr. Vuk Jeremic, for the brilliant way in which he fulfilled his mandate. And I would lastly like to pay well-deserved tribute to Mr. Ban Ki-moon, the Secretary General of the United Nations Organization, for all his initiatives for peace and security throughout the world, and for his personal involvement in seeking ways and means, making it possible to bring back peace and stability to the eastern part of the Democratic Republic of Congo and the entire Great Lakes region. These efforts are all the more laudable because the enemies of peace are always in wait, ready to strike anybody, anywhere, as we are sadly reminded by the terrorist attack that has just put the Republic of Kenya into mourning. On behalf of the government, the Congolese people, and myself, I condemn this reprehensible act. Let the kindred people of Kenya and their leaders hear from us the expression of our compassion and solidarity. Mr. President, it was appropriate for you to propose that the topic of this general debate be, and I quote, the post-2015 development agenda, setting the stage, end of quote. In an equally relevant fashion, you indicated that we must learn from the implementation of the Millennium Development Goals, bearing in mind the new emerging challenges of development, creating quantifiable indicators, forming new kinds of partnership, and better integrating the economic, social, and environmental dimensions of sustainable development. The importance of the topic selected and the relevance of the indicators accompanying it are incontestable. Our consideration should go all the deeper because the international environment is marked by a series of challenges. Indeed, at the time when we are considering the post-2015 agenda, the international community is increasingly marked by the failure of some of its members to respect the fundamental principles of international relations, the persistent selfishness of states, and the ups and downs of the world economy. There are multiple consequences. These go from attacks against peace to deadly conflicts. Globalization, which is moved essentially by the headlong rush for profit, which aggravates poverty. To this we add the food crisis, famine, sicknesses and pandemics, which return to the surface after having disappeared for some time, as well as the destruction of the environment, which is the main reason for climate change and its deplorable effects. I am pleased that the General Assembly of the United Nations, in order to change this uncomfortable situation, has established a working group which is responsible for defining the Sustainable Development Goals, as well as the Intergovernmental Experts, a Committee of Experts on Financing this Development, and the High-Level Political Forum to spur the execution of recommendations and decisions on sustainable development. My wish is to see this process harmonize with that which is ongoing on the transformations of the Economic and Social Council, and beyond that, of the United Nations system as a whole, in order to better integrate the three dimensions of sustainable development. In other words, the economic, social, and environmental dimensions in the new post-2015 agenda. The new program we are called to establish should be universal, ambitious, able to respond to the immense challenges humanity is facing, and it should bring about positive change on the basis of the principle of shared differentiated responsibility. From this point of view, it would be important for us to rely on the contribution of women, young people, and civil society, both when it comes to the design and to the execution of this agenda. We should also be inspired by the lessons learned from implementing the Millennium Development Goals. Mr. President, when it comes to climate change as an important issue to be resolved in the post-2015 agenda, allow me to recall that according to the terms of the outcome document of the United Nations Conference on Sustainable Development, states committed themselves to leave behind consumption and production which is not viable over the long term, and instead turn to sustainable ways of managing natural resources, which are indispensable for economic and social development and for the future of humanity. Climate change is a threat for humanity and fundamental human rights, especially for vulnerable populations, including those of the African continent and island countries. Contributing to limiting the impact of climate change is, for each of our states, a responsibility towards our populations, a service to the human race, and a duty for international solidarity. Fully aware of this, the Democratic Republic of the Congo, a country with exceptional biodiversity, has always managed its natural resources with a care for the future. It is from this point of view that we adopted a policy to manage our forest ecosystems. The Grand Inga project is based on the same logic. I should highlight that this project should, when it is concluded, make it possible to produce 40,000 megawatts of electricity, enough to satisfy the energy needs of almost half of Africa, clean, renewable energy, which is compatible with the requirements of sustainable development. Mr. President, today we should be setting the post-2015 stage. In this context, I express the wish to see the proposals emerging from this session, translating our common will to give pride of place to the economic, social, and environmental dimensions of sustainable development. These proposals should cover our local, national, and regional development programs. They should also lead to bolder international cooperation and reflect the will of each of our states to contribute to international peace and security. Mr. President, without peace, we cannot contemplate progress. Without a minimum of security conditions, conditions of safety for individuals and their possessions, development is simply hypothetical. This is all the more unacceptable when peace is breached because of external aggression. And this is the unhappy recent history of my country. It is important on this front to recall a double reality, which is often unknown or hidden, that it is because we acted in solidarity by welcoming on our territory refugees from Rwanda that the Congolese populations of the eastern part of my country are deprived of peace, the elementary right for all humans, and they continue to count up the dead. The most recent episode of this endless tragedy was that of the women and children of Goma, crushed under bombs last July. A true tragedy of an unequaled scope in the history of humanity. And it should not leave any heart indifferent. We should ask ourselves, what will remain of international humanitarian law if welcoming refugees in distress, which is a humanitarian act par excellence, becomes sufficient reason to justify endless aggressions from the country from which these refugees originate. Mr. President, the recent bombings of Mutaho and Goma are all the more reprehensible since they were perpetrated when the government of the Democratic Republic of the Congo was complying with the roadmap established by the Framework Agreement of Addis Ababa, including talks with the armed group which is responsible for the bombings. Nevertheless, I wish to reaffirm my country's determination to comply with all of the commitments in the framework of this agreement. It is from this focus that the following specific actions have already been taken by my government. the establishment of the National Follow-Up Mechanism for the implementation of the Democratic Republic of the Congo's commitments, the speeding up and systematizing of security sector reform, especially the army, the police, and the justice system. Decentralization, which took a further step towards concretization by adopting the by passing the necessary laws for its implementation. Reforming the structure of public finance management, which is completed by the entry into force of measures to make the business climate a sounder one. The restructuring of the Independent National Electoral Commission, which was immediately implemented as a priority, the continuation of the electoral process to organize local, municipal, provincial, senatorial, and provincial governor elections, the holding of national consultation meetings since September 7th of this year, the objective of which is to seek a national cohesion in order to better respond to all the challenges we must face. Beyond these efforts by the Democratic Republic of the Congo, the dawn of sustainable peace in the region depends on two major conditions: putting an end to impunity in all its forms on the one hand, and on the other, by diligently executing the commitments of the other signatories of the framework agreement. Thus, once again, my country appeals to our universal organization to deal with all member states with the same rigor and require that each one of them strictly respects the principles of the Charter of the United Nations. Reporting and denouncing the violation of these principles is certainly a good thing, but punishing those who violate those principles is much better, especially when those violations are established, persistent, and recurrent. Mr. President, I could not conclude my remarks without expressing my thanks to the SADC. The International Organization for the Great Lakes Region, the African Union, and the European Union for the essential role they play in maintaining peace in our region. I also thank the United Nations, in particular the members of the Security Council, as well as all those states which for many years have been standing shoulder to shoulder with us to ensure peace in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. We are all the more thankful to them since they contribute to one of the breakthroughs for a post-2015 development plan, which responds to the requirements of a better world for all. We must be convinced that beyond our differences, we have a common future, and we must consider our diversities as a source of wealth, which is what they essentially are. For the international community, it is high time that we find the ways and means to make it possible for millions of people not simply to be alive, but rather to live decent lives in a world where peace, security, and justice are a reality for all. Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen, heads of delegation, I thank you.